time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Well, if you're walking through the valley and there's shadows all around, oh, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound, for He has promised never leave you or forsake you. Oh, and His word is good. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, we were sinners, so unworthy. Yet for us He chose to die. He filled us with His Holy Spirit, so we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, oh, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good night. Oh, His light will shine. God is good. Well, God is good all the time. Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. Say so, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord one more time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Yes, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forever. Reigns forevermore. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Yes, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Well, blessed be the rock of my salvation. And Jehovah Jireh is his name. You believe it? He provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provideth all my needs. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock. My salvation, Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Would you praise him with your hands tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. He's a good God, isn't he? Man always provides our needs. He's always there for us when we need us. Amen. You just have to trust and rely on him. Amen. Things happen in your life you just have no control over. Amen. And I'm certainly going through something like that right now. And you just can't let the devil get you down. You just got to push on through and believe. I'm thankful for his promises. Amen. I'm certainly leaning on Matthew 7:7 right now. Amen. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Amen. God is good. He's faithful to perform his word. Amen. And I believe his word to be true more than anything else in my life. Amen. Let's just, we're going to slow down just a little here and we're going to worship for a while. Amen. Are you with me? You want to worship him tonight? Amen. Let's just enter into a mode of worship. Let's lift his name and magnify him. Just before we take our needs to the Lord. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name. We're going to raise it up to the KMD. You were the Word at the beginning, the one with God, the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, and now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name. Didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is. Oh, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grace. the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival, and you have no out into darkness, hope of beauty that made this heart adore thee, hope of a life spent with you, and here I am to worship, here I am to bow, and here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, and humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin decayable, and here I am. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me, and I'll never sins upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am say that you're my God, oh, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Musicians, if you'll play that as we take our needs to the Lord. I'm going to invite Brother Ted to set, if he would make his way to the front and pray over these special needs for us. We'd like to remember Brother Brian McCall tonight in prayer. He's not feeling well. And Brother Keith put on a request for him, so we're going to remember that special need. If you'd remember Sister Frida Drum, she's dealing with really
bad migraine headaches, and that's been an ongoing issue for her, and we're going to hold her up in prayer that God will deliver her from that affliction. Also, Sarah Johns is also dealing with some really bad headaches. We remember that special need. Brother Peter was going through an ordeal, and I'm sure you're aware of that, so we're going to remember him in prayer. He's just not feeling well. If you'll continue to remember Brother Mike Pritchard and his situation, we're going to remember that need and ask that God would intercede for him, guide the doctor's hands with the procedure. If you would remember the Hughes family in your prayers, certainly keep Brother Troy and Sister Connie in prayer. And that's all I have for the prayer requests at this time. Certainly request that you'd remember my need. And if you have special needs and unspoken prayer requests, you can show your hands at this time. Amen. God sees those needs, and we're going to pray with you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how good you are. One more time, Lord, you've given us to gather here. Lord, we don't know if there's a tomorrow. We don't know how many more times, Lord, you hold our days in your hand. We just give praise unto the Most High God, the great Creator, the one who provides for all of our needs, the great physician. And Lord, we look at the prayer requests tonight and we see that we are surely a needy people. Lord, we're still needy. We always will be in this life, in this flesh. But Lord, we turn to you, Lord God, to worship you, to praise you, to give you thanks, and to lift up our petitions and our needs before you, Lord. We know that you're a God that hears us. We know that you're a God that answers prayer. For how many times have we seen you come on the scene when we had a need? For this, oh God, we give you praise and thanks. And Lord, we're especially thankful for the word of God that will come forth with power. We have no doubt, oh Lord God, that you've anointed the vessel that will bring it tonight, Lord. And you know the need of every heart here spiritually, Lord. And you know how to meet it, Lord. And meet it tonight for us in the revealed word in this hour, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, for all the goodness you show us now. Giving you praise and worship, Lord. Let every song and every shout and every worship, Lord God, be pleasing to your ears, Lord. Have your way with us, we pray now. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Ted. You may have your seats as we continue to worship for a little while. Just before, we're going to invite Brother Aaron to come and take the word to us this evening. I'd like to ask that you all remember the upcoming meetings, anniversary meetings, March the 1st. There'll be two services, one at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. And we're going to be having Brother Paul LaFontaine and Brother Jason Watkins speaking for us. So we're really looking forward to that. But let's just worship for a little while before we go to the Word. I'm forgive. Is this key of C, Brother Matt? Let's bring that up to D as well. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. Oh, it's my joy to honor you in all. Again, and I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned. Oh, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Die for me. Oh, amazing love, I know it's true. Oh, it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, amazing love. Die for me. Think about it, church. Oh, amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. Let's sing one more. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be, blessed be. Sing it again. Oh, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be. Let your people proclaim, you are holy, oh, you are holy, God, as we lift up your name and give glory, yes, glory to your name. Well, blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name, and blessed be, oh, blessed be, blessed be your name. And let your people proclaim, you are holy, oh, you are holy, God, as we lift up your name and give glory, well, glory to let your oh, you are. Let's take up our evening offering. Amen. I'm excited to get into the Word tonight and see what God has in store. Amen. I pray that's your heart's desire too. Brother Chris, I'd like for you to...
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come into your house this evening. Lord, to hear the Word that's going to come forth and learn more about you and be drawn a little bit closer to you tonight. Father, once again, we ask you to be with this part of our worship tonight. Be with the gift and the giver. Be with the intended use. Be with the ministers who brings forth the word. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Bless the Lord, as Brother Aaron comes. O my soul, and that is within me, bless his holy name. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Has done great things. Yes, he has, friends. Oh, he has done great things. Well, he has done great things. Bless his holy name. Sing it again, church. Oh, bless the Lord.
Peter, we want to remember Sarah John, and we want to keep Brother Mike preaching in your prayers. We also want to remember Brother Jaron Brown as he's navigating through job situations and many other requests that may not have been read tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord. We are so thankful, Father, you told us in your word that when we pray, we should not use vain repetition because you already know what we have need of. Father, we have a confidence, Lord, that you can hear us when we pray. When we lift our hands to you, you are able to see our hearts. Lord, we have confidence in the word that you promised that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Lord, we have confidence that there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. We know, Father, that you are the only one that raised from the dead. That, Lord, no matter how bad our situations are, yet you are the power that raises to life. Lord, you told Martha and Mary that you are the resurrection and the life. And there is nothing that is impossible with you, Lord. Father, we know that we can come to the end of our wits. We can come to the end of our understanding. We can come to the end, Lord, of our own abilities. But there is one that has no end. There is one that has no beginning. There is one who can never fail. There is one who is inexhaustible. There is one who has been there forever and who shall remain forever and ever. That's the one that we are approaching tonight. Lord, may you intervene, Lord, for Brother Jaron Brown. We know that you have already provided for him. Lord, we are already thanking you, oh God, because you are a great deliverer. Father, we know how this story ends, that we shall sing the victory. When I remember Sister Frida, who is not here tonight, Lord, may you give her complete healing, Lord. May you touch your body even tonight. Father, we also want to remember Brother Peter. May you just visit him, oh God, and help him, Lord, through his needs or the situation he has. We're just committing him into your hands. Lord, we want to remember our pastor, oh God, as he's approaching 20 years of anniversary. Lord Jesus, may you just bless him and bless his family, bless his wife. And Lord, may you repay him all the labors, the Lord, that he has given to your name. Grant it tonight. Be with us as we enter into the time of breaking your word. Take aside the minister and speak directly to your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Tonight we greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may have your seats. Thank you so much, musicians. I don't know if my PowerPoint came through. 1st, I want to remind you for our upcoming anniversary meetings. So from Brother Barry's update, seems like the dinner is closed, right? It's fully booked. But the services, everyone is certainly welcome to attend. And just check with the deacons. Maybe there may be some people that may drop and, you know, you might not want to replace them. So just remember, we have 2 services on Sunday, morning and evening. And some of my favorite preachers will be ministering, Brother Jason Watkins and Brother Paula Fontaine. Amen. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time of services. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And just a little update. I know on Sunday we spoke about a church in Malawi that were requesting chairs. By the grace of God, we managed to help in that need. And they sent me a message today. They purchased their chairs. They said, God bless you richly, Pastor, for this job you are doing for us. We have nothing to say. That's more like we have no words. We have no words to say. It's just like we are dreaming. So thank you so much. I will share the pictures once they set up the chairs in their church. Amen. So tonight, by the grace of God, we want to preach on Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. So if you want to stand with me and open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, we certainly miss Brother Barry, who is not here tonight. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. If you have it, you can say amen. Amen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. It's amazing how God will say the same name twice. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May I have your seat. Thank you once again for the messages. The baby is doing very well. Sister Trish is doing fine. They are home streaming tonight. Appreciate all the ministers' wives. Sometimes we have to stay with the kids while the brothers go out in ministry. So we just want to thank the Lord for them. So we want to talk about Jehovah Jireh. Sounds like a very simple subject. It is, but yet very, very profound. It's one of those messages that Brother Branham preached many, many, many times. And sometimes when you see the prophet, you know, repeating a subject, or like, you know, he would preach influence, or he would preach, you know, adoption, or hear ye him. Sometimes you want to step back and say, you know what, maybe there's something. to learn and to glean from those messages. So it has just been hitting upon my heart. God has just been dealing with me on this subject of Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And it's amazing how the story of Abraham, as we said before, that the story of Abraham, Abraham is the father of all those that believe. How many can say amen? Amen. Now, this is elementary. We all know that we are God's, we are Abraham's seed according to faith. Amen. We are not Abraham's seed according to the flesh. We are not Abraham's seed according to our natural birth. We are Abraham's seed according to the faith. Yes. Because Abraham, he was a Gentile. Abraham came from a family that was worshipping idols. Abraham came from the Ur of the Chaldeans. So it doesn't matter where you come from. What makes you a believer is your response to the word. So when God called Abraham and said, leave your country, leave your family, leave whatever you are doing, leave your religion and go to a place that I shall show you. So when Abraham believed God, then he became a believer. Then he became a Jew. Then he became, you know, a somebody that was chosen by God. So what makes a difference is not your natural flesh. No doubt Abraham had cousins, he had brothers, he had sisters, but only him was he called by God. So the calling of God is personal. So other people, you know, in his family, they never understood what was happening to Abraham. But Abraham had a call from God. And God's call is always personal. Many times, you know, we think that God will call us in a group. God calls us personally. So the journey of Abraham is a preview of the journey of all his seed that comes after him. If you read the story of Abraham, just see yourself in that story. When you read the story of Isaac, see yourself in the story of Isaac. When you read the story of Jacob, see yourself in the story of Jacob. Because these stories, they always repeat themselves. Because remember, these stories, they are talking about Jesus Christ. And we ourselves, we are revealing and we are showing Jesus Christ. So Abraham, he had believed God. And God has said, you are righteous, Abraham. And it's amazing how God was working with Abraham, progressing through the chapters. He would visit Abraham in chapter 12, he would visit Abraham in chapter 15, visit Abraham in chapter 22. Many different junctions, God was visiting Abraham. And I want to say that the journey, the life of a Christian, goes through different phases. It goes through different junctions. There are mountains, there are valleys, there are high points, there are low points. The story of a believer, you know, as we said before, it's not a straight line. Amen. I used to joke with brother Andy Irish. I said, you know, if you see a straight line, if you're in a hospital, if you see a straight line, you're probably dead. It has to be like this. That shows that you're alive. Amen. You know, that shows that there's life. The moment everything, you know, I was talking to Brother Burley one time. We were fixing to go to Florida for some meetings. And we were saying, should we drive? Should we fly? We were sharing some meetings. And he says, you know, he says, Brother Aaron, I hate driving in Florida. He says, because everything is just flat. He says, if you're driving in the Carolinas, you see the mountains, you see the trees, you see. But if you're driving in Florida, it's just flat. I said, you know what? What if our life was like that? Everything is just flat. Mm-hmm. You just wake up. You've got nothing to look forward to. Right. You know, there's joy in going through a difficulty and you come out of it. There's a joy that you can't explain. There's a joy of maybe sometimes you hurt someone and you say, I'm sorry, and you reconcile and you come together. That's why the prophet, he says, even in marriages, God uses tension. He says, when you get over that tension, it makes you appreciate each other much more after you've gone through a tension and reconciled. So God's, a Christian's life is like that. And there's nothing wrong with going through those cycles. Matter of fact, life in general is just full of cycles. Yeah. Life is about cycles, right? Yeah. You can look at it this way, that way, but you'll find out that life in general is about cycles. And God designed those cycles for his own glory. And I want to say that you need God for each and every cycle that you go through. Yeah, right. There is never a cycle that you say, you know what, I'm good. I'm good. You can never say to God, I'm good. Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can say. You will always need God. You will always need God. Because you don't know what you don't know. But God knows everything. So God had called Abraham. And Abraham is playing the part of Christ. And I want to say, you know, as we start here, that we are always playing the part of Christ. This is where we miss the bigger picture. It's because many times we try to inject ourselves in situations, but we forget that everything that happens in our life has got nothing to do with us. Our lives are in Christ Jesus. As Paul says, I have put on Christ. You will find out that, you know, as you read the Bible, that everything in the Bible is speaking about Jesus Christ. So Abraham is going through this phase, and God promises him, and he says, you shall have a son, and you shall, and your son shall be blessed, and he shall be a royal seed, and he shall be like the sand of the seashore, and I'm going to bless him and his seed. And think about it. And then God says, you know what, Abraham? Take your son, your only son that you love. Now, how many know that Abraham also had an older son called Ishmael? Yeah. But God would say to Abraham, your only son. Which means that, yes, Ishmael was a son of Abraham, but he was not the son of the promise. So the true son of Abraham is the one that was born according to the promise. So there are many sons that are gathering tonight, worshiping God, going to church, but there are some that are gathering according to the promise. Those are the ones that God counts in his census. And that's why Paul says the seed is counted according to the promise. So we message believers, we received a promise. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the promise, the prophet. Whenever you accept a promise in the Bible, you are proving that you are the son of Abraham. You are not just coming to church for Judy. You are not just worshiping out of Judy, but you are worshiping because you have a promise. So a believer looks at the promise. You don't look at your circumstances. You look at the promise that God has given. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is where the devil likes to play tricks with us. He wants us to take our eyes off of the promise. But the promise is everything. Amen. 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 So God said to Abraham, take this son and I want you to sacrifice him for me. Imagine what was going through the mind of Abraham. God, I thought you told me I was going to be the heir of the promise. I thought you said, this is the son that is going to take my name. I thought, you know, Abraham, I'm sure the devil was preaching to him in his mind. Because sometimes, you know, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it just doesn't add up. You know, we accountants, we like to add up and balance things. And if things can't balance, you can go to sleep, but you won't rest. Because you are wondering, why is that not balancing? What am I missing? Could it be this? Could it be that? And sometimes you go through that in life because you feel like, you know, God has promised me this. This is going to happen. And then suddenly God goes around and says, you know what? Give me that son and sacrifice him. That didn't even make sense at all. But Abraham was not looking at his natural senses. Abraham was not looking at his own calculations. Abraham was looking at him who gave the promise. And Abraham, one thing that he didn't do, he never shared it on social media. He never told a bunch of people. When God gives you a promise, don't try to explain it to everyone. Because it won't make sense to everyone, but it will make sense to you. What if Abraham had posted on social media to say, hey, friends, just wanted to let you know that God has spoken to me. I'm going to sacrifice my son. Everything would have been in disarray. You know, that's our approach. That's Laodicea. You want to show the world everything. Until women, 2 days before giving birth, they get a picture without any clothes on. To me, that's insanity. You can celebrate life in a decent and modest way. Why should you show the whole world your very big belly? Nobody wants to see that. I don't want to see that. Amen. Amen. But they say, no, you know what? We are celebrating life. That is not the way you celebrate life. Life comes from God. Right. And life is sacred. Amen. And the way you celebrate life is to bring the sanctity in life. life has dignity. Amen. This is why we honor the anything that has life, we give it honor. Whether it's a homeless person, whether it's somebody who's dying, we give them respect and honor. Because life is sacred. Amen. Life is not about vanity. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Abraham had a revelation and he told his wife, honey, I'm going to go and sacrifice and come back. And the Bible says that he walked for 3 days. And Abraham was playing, was showing the drama of the cross of Calvary. And the prophet says he might have walked for miles and miles and miles. And I want you to understand that God tells him to do something and he takes him on a 3-day journey. That is that 3 days, that's the hardest part. Because that's when all the mind battles come. You know what? It's one thing for God to speak to you. It's another thing to fulfill what God has said. That period, that's the most dangerous period of time. It feels like eternity. When you're going from one cycle to the other cycle. From one season to the other season. From one promise to the other promise. That journey might have been one of the toughest journeys that Abraham was walking. And the Bible says he had servants. He had, you know, his son Isaac. He was, you know, no doubt they would be talking and then they'll be fellowshipping. And Abraham would look at his son, just looking at him. He looks like daddy, you know, his ears, his lips, his eyes. He's just looking at himself. But he doesn't, it's with a secret. You know how hard it is to look at someone in the eyes and you're keeping something from them? You know, it's like you say, you know what, this person loves me, they're giving me all these hugs, but you know what, they're going to die. That's probably one of the toughest things that Abraham had to go through. But he said, you know what, I believe God. And then they went, and then they went, and then they went, and then they came to the foot of the mountain. And Abraham said, you two, three servants, you stay here while I go up with the Lord to worship. And we will come back. So Abraham, the Bible says, by saying those words, he was prophesying what was going to happen. Amen. Because Abraham, as he was going to this mountain called Moriah, and the scholars, they all agree that Moriah is the mountain which Jerusalem was built on. And Moriah is the mountain that the temple was built on, or some would say it's the mountain of Golgotha, but all the same, it's associated with Jesus Christ. So Isaac, being a type of Jesus Christ, he was picking the wood as he was going up the mountain, showing that Jesus Christ, 2,000, 4,000 years later, he would be picking the cross and going upon the top of the mountain. But Abraham didn't know that. All he knew, he was, I'm going up to sacrifice my son. But Abraham was thinking about his son, but God was looking at his son, Jesus Christ, in the life of Abraham. Amen. But Abraham did not have that picture. But when we read the Bible, we see that in hindsight, that this wasn't about Isaac, this was about Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you look at the bigger picture, then you can say, aha, now that makes sense. Why did I have to go through that? Because of Jesus Christ. Why did I have to suffer this? Because of Jesus Christ. The more you read this Bible, the more you go through it, the more you pray, the more you realize that your life is revealing Jesus Christ. It may not make sense to you right there, but by and by, we shall understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. So Abraham, he goes up on top of the mountain and he takes a knife and he lays his son. In fact, before that, his son asks him, Dad, we have the firewood, we have the fire, we have everything. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said to his son, son, the Lord himself, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Amen. Abraham made a testimony, and he believed in that testimony, that God himself shall provide for himself a sacrifice. In other words, if God wants a sacrifice, he will provide it himself. So whatever God wants, he provides it for himself. God does not want anything from us, but to give him what he's already provided. So Abraham was speaking about Jesus Christ, that God, wanting a sacrifice for sin, he's going to provide for himself the right sacrifice. In other words, what Abraham was going to do was not going to be acceptable. Because only God can provide for himself a sacrifice. And Jesus was the sacrifice that God provided for himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. And Abraham took a knife and he raised his hand. And the Bible says, before he smote the lad, there was a voice that came from heaven. And he says, Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand upon the lad. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram that was caught in the thicket. Amen. And this ram was representing Jesus Christ. And you can see that the ram was caught in a thicket. A thicket can be a tree, a bush, right? It was showing that Christ one day would come and he would put upon his head a crown of thorns. And he will be the sacrifice that shall be sacrificed for God to atone for our sins. Amen. And Abraham said to that place shall be called Jehovah Jireh, because the Lord has provided for himself a sacrifice. And I want you to understand something about the Bible. It wasn't God who was giving these people names. It was people who were giving God the name based on their own experience. Abraham received a sacrifice and he says, I shall call this place Jehovah Jireh. So Abraham, he declared what God is through what he went through. In other words, you can only see God if you go through a situation. You can only see God as a healer when you go through sickness. You can only see God as a provider when you are lacking something and he provides for you. You can only see God as the Jehovah of peace when you go through turbulence and he gives you peace. So it was Abraham who said, the Lord is my provider. Hallelujah. Let's read something here. Now the prophet says, and he goes 3 days journey back into the desert. Now a man can walk about 25 miles, 35 miles. So he must have been 100 miles from civilization. And then he saw the mountains far off. And he says, the ones that was holding the moose, he says, you stay here. Now, he says, now I want you to notice this, you people that seek. He said, you stay here while the lad and I go yonder to the mountain and worship, and we will return. So Abraham had a testimony. He believed that we are going to return. Myself and the lad, we are going to return. And that's something that is powerful. That no matter what you're going through, you must have a testimony. You must have faith that, you know, I will return. I will be fine. I will be healed. I will be back. You must have a testimony that you speak from your heart that no matter the situation, I will return myself and the Lord. And that's what showed that Abraham believed God. Because Abraham testified of what was going to happen. And the prophet says, now look, how did he? The Bible says that he had received as him that was coming from the dead. Know that God could raise him up from the dead. How is he going to come back, Abraham? You're going to kill him. How is he going to return with you? But he took God's word, knowing that God had promised him that through Isaac, God was going to do something. You see now, so Abraham, he knew that even though God said, go and sacrifice Isaac, he also knew that the same God said, Isaac is going to be multiplied. So that's what gave Abraham rest. To say, you know what, I cannot put these two things together. But I believe God. If he says he's going to multiply Isaac, so even if he says I'm going to take him, somehow something is going to happen. So Abraham, that's what gave him rest. Because he believed God. If God promised, then he cannot take away my son because he promised it. Amen. So Abraham was looking at the end of his faith. And that's what made him to go through what he was going through. The Bible says here, so the prophet says in the church ages, be faithful unto death. He does not say be faithful until death, but unto death. You may have to seal your testimony with your blood. So Abraham had this testimony that God is going to multiply my seed. So Abraham, no matter what he was going through, he held that testimony. And I want you to understand this tonight. The devil is not necessarily after you, but he's after your testimony. Have you ever noticed the moment you say something, that is the more difficult thing it becomes for you to do that? Yeah. Why? Because the devil will fight your testimony. The moment you walk down the aisle and you promise someone, you say, I'll be a lawfully wedded wife in sickness and sorrow, I'll be. The devil will come and try you on that testimony. The moment you walk in the waters of baptism and you say, I want to receive the Lord as my Savior, as my Lord and Savior, you watch the floodgates open. If you were in high school, I remember when I was in school, people that you thought they never liked you, they will start to like you. People you thought they would never hang out with me, they want to hang out with you. The girl you thought, you know what, she is out of my league, suddenly she will become interested in you. Because the devil is after your testimony. The places where you thought, you know what, I will never be able to go to that place, the devil will open those doors for you. Because he wants to prove your testimony. And no matter what you go through, you must always maintain your testimony. You must tell the devil, you know what, if I perish, I perish. I will maintain my testimony. If I die, I will die. I will maintain my testimony. And that's what the devil fights. And you know what the devil told to Jesus? He says, if thou be the Son of God. You say you're a son of God, but if thou be the Son of God, I want you to turn these stones into bread. That's where the battle is. Prove yourself. You know, that's what bothers us when we go into trouble sometimes. We feel like, you know what, if I'm a son of God, why am I sick? If I'm a son of God, why have I lost my job? I've done everything. I've been faithful. I've been coming to church. I've done everything I can do. Why am I going through that? And the devil likes to preach that. If thou be the Son of God, why have you lost this? If thou be the Son of God, why are all these misfortunes happening to you? If thou be the Son of God, why have you lost your retirement? Why have you lost your health? Why have you lost your children? Why have you lost this? Because the devil, he wants you to believe that your identity is defined by your circumstances. Your circumstances have got nothing to do with your identity. Amen. Your identity is what you are. Amen. Your circumstances is what you are going through. If I'm sitting on this piano, I am still Brother Aaron from Zimbabwe. If I'm standing on this pulpit, I'm still Aaron from Zimbabwe. If I'm drinking water, I'm still Aaron from Zimbabwe. If I'm cutting grass, what I'm going through does not change who I am. So if you are going through some sickness, you are still a son of God. If you are going through a financial difficulty, you are a son of God. If you are going through a marital problem, you are a son of God. No matter what you are going through, you are a son of God. And you must maintain your testimony. Because the moment you doubt your testimony, you are finished. The devil is done with you. Because he wants to attack your testimony. And that's when people give up. What's the point? What's the point of going to church? The drunkards, they are getting raises. They are getting big opportunities. But here I am, a son of God. Why am I going through this? But you know what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God delivereth out of them all. Amen. And that's the devil's proposition. Never accept the devil's proposition. Because the devil, he wants people to be identified with circumstances, with natural things. And this is what affects us, even in the black community. Because somebody feels, you know what, somebody thinks my value will go up if I wear a Gucci bag. My value will go up if I drive a $100,000 car. You are not defined by what you wear, what you drive, what you eat. Yeah. If you are lost, you are lost. I don't care what you drive, what you eat, where you go. You don't buy class. There's only one class in the Bible. He has made us the sons of the living God. The moment you believe the word, you accept the word, you are a son of God. You don't need to add anything to prove anything. And that's where the modern church has lost it. Because they think, you know what, the more glitter, the more things that we have come to see through you know, development and news, that even the people that are billionaires, they're miserable. Some of them go into drugs because, you know what you have does not change who you are. You may be happy for 2 days, but after that you get used to it. You want something more. You want something better. So you should never let the devil define you by your circumstances, by your goods, by what you have, by your zip code, where you sleep, who your friends, how many people like your post, how many friends, how many followers you have. That has got nothing to do with your identity. Your identity is defined by the Bible. Your identity is in the Holy Ghost. Once you know who you are, then you are secure in Christ Jesus. You don't have to chase everything that comes. You don't become a slave of trends. Oh, there's this trend. There's this trend. Listen, we are human beings, right? We're still gonna. I promise myself today I will never mention food, because Joe was like, "Brother Aaron, I promise you, you never preach without mentioning food." People follow trends because, you know what? They wanna be validated by other people, because we want to be accepted. We want to get a good, we want to be told. This is why people drown in debt, right? Because we do things that we're not supposed to do. Why? Because we want to keep up with people, with perceptions. Because they define poverty in two ways. There is poverty of impoverishment, where you don't have food, and God is faithful. He will give you food. But 99% of our poverty is mindset. Because we think, if I don't have this, I am lacking. Yet you don't need that. You are simply comparing yourself to someone.
Right.
So 99% of our poverty is mental. And it has got nothing to do with the Bible. Because you feel like, you know what, why don't I have this? This is why Laodicea, the Bible says, you say I am rich and I've got need of nothing. But you are miserable. You are blind. You are pitiful. God says you are blind. You may be wearing the most expensive Ray-Bans, but you are blind. That's what the Bible says. But when you have Christ, you have got everything.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is everything.
Right.
Once you have Christ, you are secure. You are solidified. You are rested.
Amen.
When God created Adam, he rested. That didn't mean that God was tired. No, sir. It means that he had completed. Because 7 is the number of completion. So when you receive Christ, you are complete.
Amen.
He makes you complete. You don't need something extra, like a tattoo, like an association. You don't need a tag. I'm a Swiftie, or I'm a Yankee. That's fine. No, you can have that. But you know what? You are complete when you have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, people want to add a whole baggage. You don't need to add anything. If you have the genuine, if you go and buy olive oil, if there's something added to it, it's no longer 100% olive oil.
Right.
For it to be 100%, it has to be virgin, cold, pressed, nothing added. The moment they mention a second ingredient, throw it away. It's no longer real olive oil. That's what Christ is. When you receive Christ, you don't need to add any extra baggage. People will say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian scientist. I'm a Christian socialist. That is just insane. You know, I'm a Christian traditionalist. No, you are a Christian. End of story.
Amen.
I'm a Christian liberal. I'm a Christian nationalist. You can be a socialist, but don't mix it with Christianity. Just say I'm a socialist, full stop. But you cannot say, I'm a Christian socialist, because that is not supported by the Bible. I'm a Christian Rastafarian. You know, I'm a Christian activist. You are contaminating the experience. I was reading about, you know, how Europe, forgive me, I can only preach from my experiences, right? If I was a plumber, you'd hear plumbing stories. But I'm not. I wish, right? Because I won't be replaced by AI, right? If I was. They say champagne can only be champagne if it comes from France. Right? Because it has to come from a certain place. Everybody says, amen. I'm not marketing champagne. I've never tested champagne, and I have no plans of. But they say it can only be champagne if it comes from a certain place in France. Yeah. So there are many goods like that. So Christianity is only Christianity if it comes from the Bible. Yeah. If you say, I'm selling champagne from Africa, that sounds good, but that's not champagne. It doesn't make sense. Right? So the only way you can be a Christian is if you are coming from the Bible. It doesn't come from tradition. It doesn't come from your culture. It doesn't come from politics. It comes from the Bible. Amen. End of story. So, now let's continue. The Bible, the prophet says, now, no wonder he could claim there, Matthew 27, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, into my hands. I send you to be my witnesses all over the world. Now, God wants us to be what? Witnesses. So he gives us power to become witnesses. And remember, we said the devil is after your testimony. Because for you to be a witness, you must have a testimony. Yeah. Your testimony is your story. That's why we sing, this is my story. Jesus is mine, right? We all have stories, right? Until, you know, people say, oh, there's a story. But you know what? There's only one true story. It's the story of how you were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can tell a powerful story, unless it is Jesus Christ, it's not going to help anyone. It doesn't have life. It has life if it talks about Christ. So the devil is attacking your testimony. Your testimony is because God has made you a witness. You are not a witness of what happened to Brother Branham. You are a witness of what happened to you. This is where the problem is. We want to testify about Brother Branham. We want to testify about our dads, our mothers. God wants you to testify about you. Amen. Tell me your story. Tell me your testimony. Do you know him? What did he do in your life? Where did you meet him? What has he done for you? If you don't have a story, then you have to be desperate and say, Lord, I want to meet with you. Then you can be a witness. Because unless you have a testimony, you can never be a witness. You can only be a witness if you experience something. And experience can never be substituted by anything. And here is where evangelists have a problem. Is that they want to define an experience in one way. Experience comes in various ways. But we all must have an experience. We may not all shout, we may not all jump, but we should have an experience. Praise the Lord. And some of the best experiences in life, they don't have any noise, no music, you know that. I'll give you an example, even in real life. You can go to a football match, that's an experience, for example, right? You can go to a concert, that's an experience. You can go to Disney. There are many different things. There are different experiences. But the problem is that ministers have defined experiences to mean one thing. Experience, yes, is one thing, but it manifests in different forms. God can give you an experience quietly. God can give you experience without a sensation. God can give you an experience with a sensation. But either way, you must have an experience. Something that happened to you. That you can say, you know what, I was reading my Bible, suddenly the thought came to you. Whatever it is, it's something that happened to you that changed your life, that changed your motives, that changed your behavior, that changed how you approach life. That's an experience that you should have. This is question and answers. Then they said, do your children have to have an experience to have the Holy Spirit if they see the end time message? Do they have the Holy Ghost? In other words, if they are in a message church and they read the message, do they need to have an experience? And Brother Branham says, everyone must have an experience. Your children cannot go in no other way but the same way you do. See? They have got to be born again. You are seed because you believe the word. But that seed has to be quickened. Because if that seed is not quickened, it will never produce anything. If you take a seed and you put it in your pocket, you can walk with that seed for 50 years. It will still be a seed. It's a good seed, but it's just a seed. But if you put it in the ground and you pour some water, then it can grow and produce fruit. So yes, by believing the message, you are proving that you are seed because you are responding to the word. But that seed must be quickened. In other words, it must be made alive through an experience. Amen. Now, again, sorry. There is something called an experience economy. How many has ever read about that? So an experience economy, they say it's a term used to describe the current economic era where people, where businesses focus on selling memorable events rather than physical goods or basic services. People now want experiences. Nobody cares about goods or services. People want experiences. Eating a steak is good. But eating a steak when someone is playing a violin, that's an experience. Right? And nobody cares about eating a steak these days. But if you eat a steak on a rooftop restaurant overlooking Manhattan, that's an experience. And people will pay thousands of dollars to have that. Because people are looking for an experience. Because there's something good about experience. It's two things. Number one, it gives you beautiful memories. You can take your selfie stick and have nice, beautiful photos. Because if something is ordinary, like, for example, I make good sandwiches, but I may not take pictures of them because it's not an experience. Right? So experiences, they give you a memory, a reference point. Experience will also give you something to tell people about. And this is what is driving what we call the experience economy. It's because the rise of social media was also the rise of experiences. Because if you don't have experience, you don't have content. Because we live in a world of what? Content. You want to tell the world about it. Because who wants to tell people things that are ordinary? Hey, I had breakfast today. Okay, yeah, so what's the big deal? Right? But if you say, you know what, I had breakfast in a Michelin star restaurant and I was served by Chef so-and-so, and on top of that, they were playing this song or whatever, right? That becomes an experience. And that's something you can put on your story, internet story. That becomes your story. And people will be like, wow, this is great. Thumbs up. And they are touched by that. And they'll go and make their own booking to go to that same place. And that's how businesses are making money. And this is how things were supposed to be. You have an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's something that stays with you. Nobody can explain it out of you. Nobody can take it away from you. It's something that you know that something happened in my life. And because and that becomes your story. And guess what? You want to tell people about it. But the devil has gone ahead and he has twisted the whole thing. He wants us to focus on these other experiences instead of these other experiences. People who will literally sell their kidneys just to buy this other experience of the world. But we can't spend a few minutes in prayer to ask God for this indestructible experience. And that is our generation. We have reached a point where most stuff is easily accessible and cheap because we are saturated with physical goods. We now place a higher premium on time and memories. People, especially younger generations, increasingly prefer to spend their disposable income on what? Travel, concerts, and unique dining rather than objects. That is the same way with the church. John 3, verse 16, everyone knows it. John 1, verse 1, everybody knows it. But what makes a difference is an experience. What makes a difference is an atmosphere. What the world is hungry for, the world is looking for an experience. And the greatest experience we are looking for is something called the rapture, where one day we shall be changed. People are going from place to place, restaurant to restaurant, going to cross ships. Oh, have you tried the Disney one? Oh, you should try this one. You should try, oh, this Lady of the Seas. Oh, try this one. You can try all of those experiences. They will never amount to anything as compared to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the experience that we need. We will spend our lives, you know, max out credit cards, go into debt, buy now, pay later, do all these things to get the natural experiences, and we will still never be satisfied. But when we come to the fountain of the living water, and we drink from that water, we will never thirsty again. Jesus Christ says, if you drink from this well, you will be thirsty again. If you have this experience, next time you want to have this, next time you want to have this, next time you want to have this. But if you drink from this, you will never be thirsty again. You will be complete. And you will have rest. Because rest means you are complete. Amen. And Christ, any Christ-centered life, that's your absolute. The prophet says, a Christ-centered life is your absolute. What does it mean, Brother Aaron? When you realize the bigger picture, that the life that we live, the things that we are doing is for Christ, you will see that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. There was a man called David. You know, the enemy, you know, I'll be closing in 5-10 minutes. The enemy gave a proposition, and he loves to give propositions. He says, give me your strongest man. Why should everybody die? Give me your strongest man. And the Bible says that he was giving a challenge for 40 days. And 40 is a number of a trial, right? And God sent David. And David, he had experiences before. And David was able to have faith because he had experiences before. He had slew a lion. He had slew a bear. In other words, what takes you through the next storm is your previous experience. So you can never go anywhere without an experience. This is why the prophet said, young men, before you get married, receive the Holy Ghost. Before you go out in the world, receive the Holy Ghost. Before whatever you are doing, spend time with God. Spend time with the Bible. Spend time with the spoken word. Know who you are first before somebody tells you what you ought to be. Because if you go in the world without knowing who you are, the world will tell you what you should become. That's why we have something called influencers. It's people who are professionally hired by Satan to tell you what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to eat, what you're supposed to dress, what you're supposed to say, not to say, what you look like. And without an experience with God, those people will define for you what you're supposed to be. But if you meet God, then God tells you what you're supposed to be. If then you meet this other person, it won't matter what they say to you. Because you know who you are and what you're supposed to be. So David, he takes up this challenge. But I want you to notice one thing. David said here, let's read the scripture together. And he says, verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So David is taking himself out of the picture. He is raising the stakes. And he's saying, you are cursing God. You are cursing the armies of the living God. And he says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee. And I will give thy carcass to the horse of the Philistines this day unto thee, and the force of the air, and the wood, and the beasts of the field. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So David is taking himself out of the picture. And he's bringing God into the picture. Because he's quickly realizing, this is not about me, it's about God. Whatever happens here should not bring glory to myself, but the glory should come to God. And he says, when all of this happens, then the people will know that there is God in Israel. In other words, whatever happens to me, good or bad, you know what? It's about the Lord. If I'm successful, may the glory be to God. If I am happy, may the glory be to God. If I am healthy, may the glory be to God. If I have got money, may the glory be to God. That the world may know that there is a God of Israel. It's not about me or you, it's about Jesus Christ. So when you have that in your mind, then you realize that, you know what, it's not about you. And you become less defeated. Because you know what, you'll be like, if I'm defeated, actually it's not me being defeated, but it's God being defeated, because I'm not the one who is fighting this battle. Because it's not my name that I'm carrying. I'm carrying the name of the Lord. And, and David says, and all this assembly shall know that the God serveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. David took himself from the situation and he placed God in the situation. In other words, he's saying, Lord, this is your battle. If we win this battle, the glory shall come to you. The people shall know that you are the God of Israel. Lord, if I'm healed, it's not going to prove that my insurance is good or my doctor is good. If I'm healed, it will prove that God, you are a God of Israel. But you know what? We try to put ourselves into things. Why me, 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 me? Who are you anyway? It's not about you. That's where you lose it. It's about Jesus Christ. Brother Barry was preaching about stewardship. That's the attitude of stewardship. When you realize it's not about me, I'm just a steward. It's about Jesus Christ. Joseph said it was to preserve life. When you put yourself out of the picture and you realize that the devil is not after me, he is after the testimony of Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry. Because you know what? Sometimes we beat ourselves too hard. Especially parents. Can I say this as I close? Sometimes that's why people struggle with their children, with their teenagers. Because they feel like they are responsible 100%. You are not 100% responsible. Your duty is to teach your children the way of the Lord. But whatever happens, don't put yourself in that. Leave it to God. Commit them to God. Dedicate them to God. To say, Lord, I will give you these children. If they are successful, Lord, the glory will come to you. It's not about you, but you know what? We want to make ourselves proud. Don't try to make yourself proud. Give the glory to God. And when you do that, God will also honor you and give you pride to say, I'm proud of my children. But many times we get overtaken by what we can achieve ourselves. And we ignore what God is trying to achieve. When our lives is not to achieve for ourselves, but it's for God to achieve his own glory. Whether we are singing, whether we are preaching, it's not for our own achievement, but it's for God's own achievements. That's why we keep a record, you know. I did this, I did this, I did this. This should not happen to me. Guess what? You have lost it. Because it's not about you. It's about God. If you are working, you are serving God, you are giving to the Lord. And the Bible says, work as if you are working unto the Lord. So your employer is God. So whatever happens in that job situation, it's more about the Lord than it is about you. When you have that attitude, your life becomes very, very easy. And may I say this as I close? The prophet says, now this great contest has been going on for many years. He started in heaven, and Satan was kicked unto the earth, and then he became an enemy of God's people. And since then, he's used all of his strength and his strategy to try to pull God's people across the fires or into fires. This battle did not start with us. It started with Satan in heaven. We are just a battleground. The easier we can get ourselves out of it, the more we accept it. Then we will be able to say, whatever, my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Because it's not about me, it's about the Lord. It doesn't matter to me if tomorrow I am this way or that way, because you know what? At the end of the day, I am dead in Christ. Paul says, it's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. My brother Branham said, your birth was pre-planned. In other words, God knew you were going to come. Your parents knew you were going to come and they planned it. Sometimes, most times, right? God, your coming here, God knew about it. Now, the word Jehovah Jireh, in Hebrew, it says Adonai Yireh. And Yireh can also be translated as the word God will see to it. So Jehovah Jireh does not simply mean God will provide. It also means the Lord will see to it. In other words, the God knows about it. So Jehovah Jireh, it means God provides, but it also means that God is our provision. In other words, before something bad happens, God has already made a way. So Jehovah Jireh, it means God has already made a way. Because the Bible says that they worshipped not the beast whose name were in the Lamb's book of life, slain from where? From the foundations of the world. So before Adam sinned, God had already made a way for Adam. So the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And the prophet says, the deep calleth unto the deep. Before the fish was created, God had to make sure there is water for the fish to swim in. So God can never create a fish before he creates the water. So God, before you go through anything, God has already provided a way for you. You might not know it, you might not see it, but the way is there. And if you wait upon the Lord and if you ask, God will show you that way. Before they came to the Red Sea, God knew about it. When they came to the waters of Marah, God knew about it. Before they went into Egypt, God had told Abraham that your seed shall go into Egypt. They shall face challenges, and I'm going to deliver them. They didn't know about it, but God knew about it. Even Joseph knew about it. Jacob knew about it. So God knows all about it. So Jehovah Jireh means before you went through the situation, God had already made a way. Amen. And may I say to you tonight, God has already made a way. Amen. Whatever you are looking for, God has already made a way. Amen. Just wait upon the Lord. Amen. Before you kneel down and say, Lord, I'm looking for a wife, there is already a wife waiting for you. It's just a matter of time before you bump into her. And you say, wait a minute, I've never seen anything like this. That's how I felt when I saw Sister Trish. I thought I was going to go in the rapture as a bachelor because I was super religious. But when I saw Sister Trish, I said, wow, what is this? Amen. And all the religiosity went away. Huh? Suddenly I became a human being, you know. I didn't know about it, but she was there. She was there all the time, but it was one day when I saw her coming out of church on an evening service. So you know what? You may think, you know what? My situation is rough, but God already has a way. Amen. Musicians, as you are coming, Moses was supposed to be killed. But I want you to watch this. Before Moses was killed, you know, Pharaoh was killing children, doing all those things. And Moses was taken from her mom to be preserved in a basket. How many of you know the story? And Moses was found by the daughter of Pharaoh. Because Moses had to be raised in the house of Pharaoh. But God knew that Moses needed to be taken care of. And Pharaoh's daughter finds a woman who can nurse Moses. And that woman would be paid. And guess who shows up? Moses' mother. Moses' mother was paid to nurse her own son. So before Moses' mother lost Moses, God had made a way for her to be paid for being a mother. God is always ahead of these things, friends. I say God is always ahead of the curve. Before you walk into your situation, God knows about it. You may be thinking, I'm overwhelmed. God, you wait and see. When you come out, you'll be like, you know what? God knew about it. I remember one time, I went to an interview at a company, and I so much wanted this job. And the person who was interviewing me was a believer. I said, you know what? My chances of getting hired are 99.9999%. Somehow, the CEO just decided to show up in that interview out of nowhere. And they said, he's a nice guy, but I don't think he'll be a good fit. I said, Lord, is there something wrong with me? Why wouldn't I be a good fit? I thought this was for me. You know what? And then I forgot about it. I eventually went, got another job, was working, you know, praising God, doing everything. And then one day I was reading the newspaper after a couple of months and so on. And then what did I read? Oh, this company went into bankruptcy. I said, you know what? Maybe God knew that I wasn't supposed to work for this company. So God had already made a way for me. I thought, you know what, I'm being deprived of this, but God wanted me to go this way. There was a man in the Bible called Saul. He went looking for his father's donkeys. He was worried for his father's donkeys. But as he was looking for those donkeys, he couldn't even find them. He was wandering for miles and miles and miles. And he bumped into a man called Samuel. And Samuel took the horn of oil and he said, I know you are looking for your donkeys, but you know what? God has sent you here so that I can anoint you to be the king. Saul was looking for his donkeys, but God was looking for the king. You may think you are looking for your donkeys, but you know what? God is driving you to be anointed to become a king. So it's not about the donkeys. It's about what God is doing for you. Let's stand up on our feet. You will make a way for me. He will be my God, holding closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. God will make a way. Oh, God will make a way.
Jehovah Jireh will make a way for you.
Where there seems to be
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. Strength for each new day, he will make a way. God will make a way. Amen. Hallelujah.
Exactly 1 year ago, Brother Keith was a pile of skeletons, literally. But Brother Keith is here tonight. He can stand. I saw him walking into my office. I said, wow, this is amazing. You know what? God made a way for Brother Keith. And he can make a way for you. He's still the same God. Let us pray. Do you have a situation? Jehovah Jireh is here tonight. He can provide for your needs. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. We thank you, Lord God, for being a faithful God. You provided to Abraham, our father, a ram on top of a mountain. The prophet says, we don't know how it got there, but all we know is that God, you sent it there. It's not for us to figure out how you are going to do it, but we believe that you are able to provide. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, tonight for your healing power. As we present Brother Mike Pritchard before your throne, we thank you, Lord, for giving him such strong faith, such rest and comfort in knowing that you are God that heals. We are asking, Lord, that you may undertake for him. You, Lord, that led him, oh God, to identify and to be made aware of that situation. It shows that you had already made a way for him. We are so thankful, Lord. We are already giving you praise and glory and honor. For we know that you have already made a way for him. We are so thankful, Lord, that in this church we have miracles upon miracles. Situations that have come, situations that have gone. In all these things, Lord, we have learned one thing, to trust in you. To trust in you, Lord, to believe in you. The greatest gift, the greatest investment, anything, Lord, that we can ever do, you said,
that we can only believe God, for this is righteousness if we believe you. We are so thankful tonight, Lord, that you can provide a job for those that are looking for jobs. You can provide, Lord, the Holy Spirit to those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We present them to you, Lord God, tonight. Father, you can reverse situations that the doctors say are irreversible. Some are dealing with diabetes, some with hypertension, some with back troubles, chronic illnesses. Lord, no matter what the name of the situation is, you are still a healer. You are still a provider. You are still a giver of every good gift. Father, some are in difficult financial situations. Lord, you are able to open the windows of heaven for them. May you help them tonight, Lord. Father, we want to be Christians satisfied in you. Lord, for we know that our identity and our being exist in you. Help us, Lord, to be centered upon you. Even if we come to situations we cannot understand, we want to believe you and trust you like our father Abraham. Bless the balance of our week and be with us, Lord Jesus. Bless our families. Bless those that are represented tonight and those that are streaming. Bless our pastor. Give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you so much. We'll see you on Saturday. Brother Gerald.
God will make a way.
Thank you, brother.
Where there seems to be no way. Oh, he works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my God, holding closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will be make a way. Oh, God will make a way, and God will make a way where there seems to be no way, and he works in cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my God, holding closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand.
is good, not equal to the grace by which I stand in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the Christ alone, in Christ alone do I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed. Only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust. My source of strength, my source of